Glory be to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. God's word is alive forevermore. God's word is the same. God's word is unchanging, unchangeable, unchanged. Hallelujah. God's word is the same. We can always bank on the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 23. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. God's word is powerful. God's word is unchanging. 1 Peter 1 from verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Hallelujah. This word of God, which is the gospel, abides forever. God's word is unchanging. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 and 8 to 9. Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the earth be established by grace, not with food which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. You see, this is a contrast between the grace of God and the law. Hallelujah. If you are conversant with the book of Hebrews, you discover that the writer of Hebrews is showing the superiority of Jesus and his covenant to Moses and the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So Jesus is superior to Moses, and Jesus is called the Word of God. John 1, Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, John 1, 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 14. Hallelujah. Bible says in verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forevermore. The doctrine of Christ, the new covenant, is the same. Hallelujah. Because of this, Bible says we should not be carried about by various and strange doctrines, because it is good that the earth be established by the grace of God, and not with foods which have not profited them that are occupied by them. I want to encourage you to stay with the word of God. I want to encourage you to make God's word your hiding place. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to submit continually to the ministry of the word. I want to encourage you to not get tired or bored of the word of God. God's word is powerful. God's word is efficacious. God's word is potent. God's word is life. Hallelujah. God's word is all that you ever need. You see, Jesus, while speaking to Mary and Martha, makes a remarkable statement. He says, Martha, you are distracted by many things. If you know the story, Jesus was in the house of Mary and Martha, and Martha was trying to prepare and serve him, prepare some sumptuous meal, perhaps, for Jesus. But Mary was seated at the feet of Christ, listening to the word of God. Now, I'm sure that if many of us were to be at that particular place, we'd say Mary is a lazy person. Mary is lazy. She's just dodging, doing chores. Hallelujah. But Jesus looked at Martha and said, Martha, 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 you are encumbered by many things. You are distracted by many things. Mary has chosen that path. There's only one thing that is needful. And Mary has chosen that path, which no one will be able to take away from her. Hallelujah. God's word is the only thing you would ever need. Listen, God's word is needful for prayer. The man that does not feed on the word of God will struggle to pray. God's word is needful for serving God. The man that does not feed on the word of God will not serve God as he ought to. God's word is needful for doing the work of ministry. God's word is needful for walking in love. That's why I marvel when I hear believers say, let's just walk in love. All this knowledge, all this doctrine and exigencies, let's just walk in love. How do you want to walk in love? How do you intend to walk in love outside knowledge? The knowledge of Christ is what bears the love of Christ in the heart of a man. Without the knowledge of Christ, you cannot walk in love. It is by knowledge you exhibit love. That's why love is a fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And if you look at Galatians 5:22 very well, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That fruit of the Spirit is a product of a walk in the Spirit. That's why verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the fruit of the Spirit is impossible outside the walk in the Spirit. Now, a walk in the Spirit is impossible outside the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. So there's no such thing as let's just walk in love. Forget knowledge. It is by knowledge we walk in love. The man that knows as he ought to know is the man that loves as he ought to love. Glory be to God. So knowledge is very essential. God's word is very essential. You'd always need God's word. I want to encourage you to pitch your tent with the word of God. This is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, episode 82. Hallelujah. And we've been studying metaphors for salvation, sanctification. Yesterday, we looked at Romans chapter 12, explaining from the Bible how that we have received a ministry. We have received the ministry. And that for receiving the ministry, we are to walk in consecration and sanctification, and we are to devote ourselves to that ministry with such sense of urgency, with such sense of dutifulness, with such sense of responsibility. We must awake, hallelujah, we must awake to the task and to the work that Jesus has given us to do. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 12, the man Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, only acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He says the presenting of ourselves to God as living sacrifices is our reasonable service. Hallelujah. It is our reasonable service. And I showed you yesterday how that from verse 3, the man Paul begins to discuss ministry. Because that is the essence of our presenting ourselves to God as living sacrifices. We are presenting ourselves unto God for service. Hallelujah. Now this service is seen in Romans chapter 12 as service within the body of Christ, in the which Bible says we do not have the same offices or the same functions, but then we have all been gifted. Hallelujah. We all have received the measure of faith. We all have been gifted. We have the grace of God upon our lives, and we can minister to one another multiple expressions of the same spirit according to the proportion of our faith. Praise God. Yesterday I showed you how that measure of faith does not mean that you have mustard seed faith, and some folks have the mountain moving faith. The phrase measure of faith is used with respect to us not having the same function. If you look at it very well, it's an allegory in the which he illustrates the body of Christ with the human body. Hallelujah. Showing you that no individual is the whole body. We are all members of one another. Hallelujah. We are all members of one another. However, you can't draw the inference beyond what is intended. You can't say, well, the hand can only do one thing, or the eyes can only do one thing. No, that would be wrong. It's using the human body to illustrate how that we have different members, and that means not one person is the whole body. But then, in Christ Jesus, every member is capable of more. Hallelujah. Every member is capable of more. You don't start stretching the analogy or the illustration and thereby, you know, making a nuisance of the text. You don't start saying some people are the eyes in the body of Christ. All they do is to see. That's not what is intended. It is only used to show how that we are members of the body of Christ, and that means not one person is sufficient of himself. Hallelujah. None of us is sufficient of himself. You can't say, I'm the body of Christ, I don't need the church, I don't need the body. No, you'd always need the body of Christ because we are members of one another. Hallelujah. However, we are capable of expressing the manifold grace and the gifts of God in Christ Jesus. So that's how come you can find an individual, just one person, praying in tongues, giving word of knowledge, working in prophecy, moving in the gifts of healings. Hallelujah. One individual working, you know, giving gracefully. One individual giving exhortation, ministering, teaching. He is capable of so much. He's capable of expressing the manifold grace of God. He's capable of expressing the multifaceted gift of God. Hallelujah. Yet, he needs the body. Glory be to God. Yet, he needs others. Glory be to God. He needs others. He will never get to a point where he feels that he's able to detach from the body and he'll be fine. He needs the body. He needs the supply of others. Ephesians chapter 4, look at this carefully. Ephesians 4, I'll read from verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Have you seen that the whole body is making a supply? Hallelujah. So in as much as I'm a vessel, a carrier of the manifold grace of God, I still rely and depend on others. I still receive nourishment from others. I still receive edification from others. Though I can prophesy, I also must receive prophecy. Hallelujah. Though I can minister, I also must receive ministry. Though I can teach, I must also be taught. Glory be to God. Though I can give, I also should receive. Glory be to Jesus. So we'll never get to a point where we feel that we are self-sufficient and we can stay alone and we can become low rangers and we don't need the body. No. Our sufficiency is as a body. Glory be to God. When it comes to stirring up ourselves, when it comes to growing up together, our sufficiency is as a body. Glory be to God. So today, let's make progress on the idea of us all being called into ministry. I've been emphasizing that every believer has received the ministry. This is the essence of our sanctification. We all have been called into the ministry. No believer is called to spectate or to just observe things in the church. No believer is meant to be a monitoring spirit. You say, me, I'm just here to observe and monitor things. You are not here to monitor. You are here to learn, to grow, to become an effective minister of the gospel of Christ. So every believer has been enlisted as a soldier, a minister. Glory be to God. Let this register deeply in your heart. The reason why you come to church, the reason why you go to the gathering of the saints is to become more effective in the ministry. You are going to be equipped, to be trained, to be taught, to be nurtured and matured to become an effective minister of the gospel of Christ. Glory be to God. That's why certain instructions are given to the whole church. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. For instance, Hebrews 5, the writer of Hebrews, writing to a mixed audience, still had this to say. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 11, Bible says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Speaking of Melchizedek. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For though by now you ought to be teachers. The writer of Hebrews is saying to these guys that the essence of being taught is so that you mature and you grow up to a point where you also become teachers. You are able to teach others. Hallelujah. Why not everybody is going to become a pastor? Everybody must be able to teach. You must possess the necessary skill and aptitude to teach. You must be able to teach. Glory be to God. All of them. Look at this place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This instruction is written to the whole church. 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. Look at this carefully. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain in the Lord. He's writing to a whole church. He's writing to everybody. He's not writing to pastors. This is not a pastor's conference. This is not a bishop's conference. This is not a conference for evangelists. This is about the whole church. Paul is writing to the whole church at Corinth, and he says to them, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because the whole church is meant to be doing the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. John chapter 14 verse 12. Jesus says, the works that I do, he that believes in me, the very works that I do, shall he do also. The whole church has been called to do the work of God. I showed you at Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 10, how Jesus sent out 12 men at Luke 9. At Luke 10, he sent out 70 other disciples. And he says, pray the Lord of harvest to send more laborers. The harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. Jesus never calls any man into idleness. He calls us into productive labor. Every believer is a laborer for Christ. Every believer is a worker. Every believer is a servant. Hallelujah. We serve in the vineyard of the Lord. We are laborers. So 1 Corinthians 15:58 is written to the whole church. Hallelujah. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You don't say this is for pastors. You don't say, well, it's only pastors that are meant to be steadfast. It's only pastors that are meant to always abound in the work of the Lord. So what are you meant to be doing? To be clapping for them or applauding them and saying, ah, our papa is too deep. No. Jesus called you to be effective in the ministry. He enlisted you as a soldier. He has given you a task to do. He has given you a work to do. He has given you a ministry to fulfill. And you must be found at your duty post every now and then. You are saved to save others. You were saved to save others. Hallelujah. You've been called into the ministry and you must embrace it today. Hallelujah. You must embrace the call of God upon your life. Someone says, I'm not called. Another one says, I'm waiting for the call of God upon my life. I'm waiting to sense it, to sense a call. I remember sharing this with somebody some years back, and he said, I'm waiting for God to properly call me, and then I get ordained for ministry. Then I'll know, hey, now I'm a minister. Praise God. You see, his mind is set on church ordinations. I'm not talking about church ordinations. I'm talking about the call of God in Christ Jesus to every believer. If you are in Christ, you've been called. I have good news for you from the Bible. If you have been found in Jesus, if you are saved, then you have been called of God. Hallelujah. And the calling is as simple as your salvation. Praise God. Many times, the reason why people don't appreciate the call of God on their lives is because they are expecting some spectacular call. You know, being alone in your house, praying and fasting and waiting on the Lord, then suddenly the wind begins to blow. The curtains are flying around. Everything is getting scattered in the house. Ha! You know, God wants to break through and get inside. So everything is, everywhere is quaking and shaking. And then you begin to hear, my son, or my servant. Then you fall on your knees in awe of God. And you say, here I am, send me, Lord. And you say, yes, that's the calling. Hallelujah. The call of God is as simple as your salvation. God called you in Christ already. You don't need any spectacular experience to acknowledge the call of God on your life. You only need to study the Bible. You only need to be well taught. You only need to acknowledge the word of God. The Bible says you are being called. Take it as so and run with the work of ministry. Run the race of your ministry and fulfill it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You have already been called. You've already been called. Do you know that in the Bible, in Jesus' ministry, do you know that only two of the apostles of Jesus had a spectacular experience? Just two of them. Peter had a net-breaking miracle by which he was able to perceive beyond the ordinary. He saw that this must be a special man. This must be an anointed person, a spiritual person. He fell at his feet and says, my Lord, and all that. Paul had light shining around him. And then he heard the voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Those were the only two folks that had some spectacular experience. You could talk about Nathanael too. Nathanael came to meet Jesus, and Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree and all that. But the most remarkable ones is that of Peter and Paul. Those were the only people that had a spectacular experience before the call. Hallelujah. The rest of them, do you know how Jesus called them? Very simple. Follow me. That was all. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And that was the call. Praise God. And that was how Jesus called them into the ministry. That was how Jesus enlisted them as apostles. Nothing extra. In fact, one of the folks that Jesus called, not one of the 12 now, but one of the other disciples that Jesus called and said to him, follow me. See, this guy said to Jesus, he says, first, let me go and bury my father. Then Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. Nothing spectacular. Jesus didn't go and raise his father to show him a sign so that he can follow him. Jesus said, see, let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. Nothing spectacular. Hallelujah. Nothing spectacular. Just saying to them, follow me. And that was it. So if you are waiting for a spectacular call, you need to realize that those spectacular experiences that happened to Peter and to Paul were not the norm. Hallelujah. Those weren't the norm. Those were the exceptions. The norm is that you just receive the call as simply as possible. And in the context of our faith today, the call of God is extended to us in our salvation. It's salvation that enlists us into the work of ministry. We are called in salvation, and from that point that we are saved, we have been enlisted into the ministry, into the work of ministry. We have been called to do the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Every believer is called. Every believer has the call of God upon his life. Every believer has the call of God upon his life. So you must treasure the call of God upon your life today. What is that call? You've been called into the ministry. You've been called into the service of God. You've been enlisted as a soldier. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 38 to 39. The call of God is not mysterious. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are called. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, from verse 38 to 39, Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So God is calling men in salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Glory to Jesus. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Bible says, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of Christ. Called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Verse 5, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Verse 6, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Have you seen what Paul did there? At verse 1, he says, Paul an apostle, called to be an apostle. He now goes to verse 6 and says, we are among you who are also the called of Jesus Christ. So Paul is called of God. The folks he's writing to are also referred to as those who are called of God. Hallelujah. Both the preacher and the congregation are called of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, glory be to God. Romans 8, 29. Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So we are being called according to God's purpose. We are being called of God. So you have a calling upon your life. Romans 8, 30. Bible says, moreover, whom he predestined, this he also called. Whom he called, this he also justified. And whom he justified, this he also glorified. You being called of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 to 24. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24. Look at this carefully. Hallelujah. Bible says, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. He says, to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, those who are called. So salvation is referred to as the call of God. In salvation, God has called you. Hallelujah. First Corinthians, the same First Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 26. It says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You see your calling. He calls it your calling. Your salvation is the calling. Hallelujah. In fact, in the New Testament, the words call, calling, called, are mostly associated with salvation than with ministry. Salvation, why? Because it's in salvation we are called into the ministry. Hallelujah. It's in salvation we are being called of God. So the man that has been saved to save others. The man that has been saved has been given a ministry, is to tell others that which he has received. So Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So we receive the Spirit of God as the gift of salvation, and then we become witnesses of the same. We become witnesses of the same salvation we have received. Glory be to God. See Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1 and 6. Glory be to God. The word call, calling, is mostly associated with salvation in the New Testament, because salvation is the call of God we all have received. Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Him who called you in the grace of Christ. This call is what happened in salvation. You were called in the grace of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Hallelujah. We all have received the calling. We all have been called of God at salvation. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with which you were called, the calling with which you were called. This calling is your salvation. Hallelujah. The believer has been called. The man that is saved has been called. The salvation itself is the calling. Hallelujah. So you are not seeking an extra call. You are not waiting for a call. For being in Christ, you are being called of God. Hallelujah. Look at this. It says, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. We all have been called in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 13. Glory be to Jesus. Bible says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Verse 14, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the word calling again is associated with salvation, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. How does God call? By the gospel. Hallelujah. So God calls you by the gospel and sends you to preach the gospel. He calls you by the gospel and sends you to preach the gospel. As you receive the call to salvation, you are sent to tell others that which you have received. Glory be to God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. The Bible says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Have you seen that the call again is associated with salvation? God has saved us and has called us with a holy calling. Hallelujah. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So you see that the call of God is our salvation. God has called us with a holy calling when he saved us. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. The Bible says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, as he who called you. He who called you. Hallelujah. This refers to your salvation. He who called you. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see that this calling again is your salvation. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called you. Hallelujah. So we have been called of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Glory to Jesus. Both in the letters of Paul and in the letters of Peter, you see that the calling is always consistent with salvation. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. The God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory. You see, this is also about salvation. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. This is also about salvation. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he says, he has called us by glory and virtue. Hallelujah. We have been called in Christ Jesus in salvation. Jude 1. Look at this quickly. Jude 1. Hallelujah. Jude 1, Bible says, Jude, a born servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus. To those who are called. You see, in the New Testament, those who are saved are those who are called. You don't get saved to be waiting for the call of God. For being saved, you've responded to the call of God. Hallelujah. You've responded to the call of God. And that answers the question of many are chosen, many are called, few are chosen. You see, God is calling every man because the call is salvation. So God is calling every man. Those who believe are those who become the chosen. Hallelujah. God is calling every man. God is out there calling every man. But those who respond, those who repose faith in the gospel, are those who become the chosen of God. God cannot forcefully choose people, but he can call men. He can call men. As men respond to the call of God, they become the chosen of God. So it is not that God calls many people, then they all come, then God begins to choose out of those who have responded. No. God is willing that all men be saved. So if all men respond to the call of God, then all will become chosen. Hallelujah. Those who become the chosen generation are those who have responded to the call of salvation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me show you an example in the life of Paul. You see, the call of salvation is the call to the ministry. The man that is saved has been saved to save others. Acts of Apostles 26, verse 15 to 18. Okay, let's even read from verse 14. Bible says, and when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Have you seen that Jesus appeared to Saul, and the first thing he told him is that I have appeared to you for this reason, to make you a minister. Hallelujah. Do you know that this was when Paul was going to be converted and get saved? But Jesus is saying to him that, see, in this your conversion, I'm going to make you a minister. I've appeared to you for this very purpose, to make you a minister. So the moment a man is saved, he becomes a minister. Hallelujah. He becomes a minister of the gospel. Glory be to Jesus. He becomes a minister of the gospel. So rather than be waiting for a spectacular experience, rather than be waiting to sense the call, you need to just look through scriptures and find the call of God. You need to look through scriptures like we've done and acknowledge the call of God upon your life. You have been called. Hallelujah. You have been called. That is the essence of the sanctification. You've been set apart with a holy calling. You've been called to serve God. You've been called to do the work of ministry. You've been set apart for that purpose. And you must run with that mindset. Hallelujah. You have a ministry to fulfill. You have the calling of God upon your life is so strong. That calling is not less than any other person's call. That calling is not inferior to any other person's call. You don't need to be intimidated by those who lay claim to some spectacular experiences, how that they heard God out of a thunder or out of a fire or out of an earthquake. You know, your call is so valid, it is well spoken of in the Bible, and that is enough. So every believer has been called of God. Every believer has been given the work of ministry. Every believer has been set apart and sanctified to do the work of ministry. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, 7 a.m. Invite your friends, colleagues, relatives, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Share on your social media handles, WhatsApp status, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of spiritual songs, full of prayer, and be a blessing to somebody. And see you in the next episode.